Gemma. So we just spoke about the layers of personality and why it is important in everyday life. So we'll see one of its application. And one of its application is dealing with pain. Common problem. Somebody is requested that you have spoken about death. What about dealing with pain? Because for the dead, it's gone. The dead don't feel pain. We believe it. Okay, they have another kind of problems in their journey. So anyways, so those who are left behind, they feel pain. But pain is not only of those who are left behind. Pain is of several kinds. And again, pain is at different levels of our personality. So there is the physical pain, which we all know. There is the psychological pain, emotional pain, even mental pain, mentally, intellectually, people can feel pain. When they see their ideas, opinions, not winning the battle. And there are people who have commit suicide because they feel intellectually the idea that I stood for has been defeated. So it's a kind of intellectual pain. Emotional pain, we all know, hurts. And then there is also something called as a psychic sorrow, spiritual pain. So these are the three broad, again, physical, psychological and spiritual. So how can they help us? First of all, physical pain. So one of the things that modern medicine has done, it is counter-revolutionary. Let me put it like that. So it has provided an easy way out. So pain is a challenge. First, it is an information. It's purely an information. So if you don't add the psychological component to it, it's just an information that there is something going wrong in some part of the body. There is a threat. So it's a threat perception, which is a sign, that signal. It's a signal, literally a signal that something needs to be done. Say you have a pain in the chest. So there is something which is amiss. It could be heart attack, it could be gastritis, it could be muscular, anything for that matter. But it's a signal. It could be even emotional pain. See, because there is a correlation between these things. So pain is simply a signal. Now, what does the mind do? Picks up those signals. It can amplify it or it can annul it. I know of people who have actually in heart attack, driven all the way, 45 minutes, they were on the way, they had the chest pain, they drove to the hospital, they came down, walked into the emergency room and said that most likely I am having a cardiac heart attack. And then it was a heart attack and they recovered completely. There are people on the other hand whom seek help. Help is coming, but they are so nervous, so anxious that much before the thing escalates. So mind, by panicking, why it's important is because when there is a pain, take it just as a signal. Don't let the mind panic. Because when the mind panics and is in fear, then the whole cellular organization, the blood vessels, the nervous system, the endocrines, they go into a kind of disarray. To take an example, supposing there is a little fire, okay, somewhere, maybe, let's say, anywhere in a house. Now, panic, what will do? People will start running helter-skelter. Somebody will pick up bucket and try to throw water, not even calmly looking whether it's an electrical water fire or not. In electrical fire, you don't use water. You may get electrocuted. But they start running, doing something. Many are pushing each other. Somebody is dying. They don't even know which way to go. That is exactly the situation that happens when there is a panic inside, when there is fear and anxiety. Fear and anxiety not only aggravate the problem, but they can actually confuse the cells. The whole body consciousness gets confused, so it's unable to make the right reaction, right response. Body has wonderful mechanisms to give us the right response in any condition. It is inbuilt. It's not like human body is not a literally a machine in that sense. It works like a machine, but it's not it's a machine that can auto-regulate itself. It has a lot of inbuilt mechanisms to take care of the problem. For instance, people faint sometimes when they have excessive pain. It's a mechanism that nature has evolved. During that moment, you have passed out. Passed out where? You have passed out of the body, actually. So it helps because it prevents the panic from taking place. And when you are separated from the body, consciousness, then the body has a chance. It's like when doctors in the emergency room, what do they say? They say, sir, you please stay outside, to the relatives. This precisely for this reason, so that they can really focus on their work and do it well. They don't invite people in the operation theater that you are a relative, please come and hold his hand, it'll be nice for us to operate. So panic, fear, anxiety is the psychological component. Not only the intensity of pain will increase, the actual process which is leading to the pain will increase. And it'll take much more time, it'll become more complicated. So the first thing when pain happens is to cut that psychological component. Meaning thereby, don't react with fear and panic. Even logically, your fear is not going to help things. For example, you have to call for help. You can simply say, I need help. Or you can start panicking and start shouting. What are you doing? You are actually wasting a lot of energy which you need to conserve. Call for help by all means. But also conserve the energy. So the first aid is, I'm talking of those who don't have faith in, let's say, the divine in some form. But I have seen actual examples where first response faith, not 911, but 111. And I have seen it work. I have narrated this story of Upahar fire tragedy, actually, where six of my relatives were involved and one died and five survived. All five toward the end were thinking of Krishna. Because they came from a family of Krishna Bhakt and they just took it, they surrendered themselves, whatever happened. But one of them was constantly shouting because her child, I mean, it's understandable. So she was shouting about, where is that child, where is that child? She died. Child survived. Child was also grown up. Because the child was, you know, they don't have these mental reactions of what may happen, what is death. They don't have these reactions. There is an age when they begin to question. Otherwise, children don't have these reactions. So, like animals. So, it helps to get over a crisis much faster. So, first thing is, okay, those who take the name of God, they are blessed. But then all are not blessed to be endowed with the faith and take the name of God. You can't suddenly at that moment make a person take the name of God. See, it doesn't work. Sri Krishna, that's why he advises, all your life if you take the name of God, then even on a battlefield when you are ridden with bullets, you will take the name of God. And that's the best way to depart. But peace is something we can all learn to call. So the mother advises, the first balm is calm. So call for calm. Calm. Peace, peace, peace. If one is accustomed to calling peace, it is so much the better. So call peace. First aid is call peace. And the second, if one has, again, these are things one, if one has practiced, because we are taught how to manage first aid in medical school, but we are not taught these things which are so important. And I know of very interesting instances of accidents and all this, and I know an ashramite who was, you know, suddenly was there and he asked the person, just stay quiet, just call mother. And it makes a big difference. So first thing is call peace, quiet, calm. And the second is, if you have practiced inner stillness can cut off the psychological component completely, because it's something which acts upon the nerves which are carrying the pain sensations to the body, to the brain, and from there the mind is picking up and amplifying based on its habit or minimizing it. So what does stillness do? Stillness and peace are very positive forces. So they can actually cut off these sensations from going beyond a point. we must have noticed that pain is very acute when some part which is near the brain is get affected, because the nerves are, you know, you travel very short distance. Boil in the nose, eye, some injury to the eye, earache, toothache. See how acute they are. Problem may not be that intense. Then the heart area, neck area, it's very, very acute. Then abdomen, but in the limbs, same problem, inflammation, it's not, it takes time to travel, or in the lower down in the abdomen. So the closer it is, toothaches are so terrible, can be so terrible. Eye pain can be so acute, because the nervous, it's very near to the brain, so it triggers very fast. So what does calling peace and calm and stillness does? It just slows down that whole process. So you get an instant relief from pain. You have the message. It's not that you don't have to do. You will do what you have to do, but not with a state of fear and anxiety. So first thing is calm, peace, stillness. And then the second is disengage the mental component from the physical. Because mind is going to augment it. How does mind augment? I have a heart pain. Is it a heart attack? Now people know this. There is a condition called as cardiac neurosis. So when a person has suffered a heart attack, so for 6 months, sometimes more, every little chest pain you think, is it a heart attack? It's because now the mind is playing. All the time so many sensations come, but the mind picks up these sensations and says, oh, is it a heart attack? So some people become neurotic because of that. So disengage the mental component. That means learn to disengage and detach yourself from the body to observe it. It doesn't mean that one will not take care of the body. We'll take care inwardly, detaching oneself. Since it is not easy unless one is a practitioner, so the method is turn the mind away. See, all pains increase at night, universally, and decrease during day, because the senses draw the mind toward the objects of the senses. So invariably, now here you have to deliberately do this. That's why you see, sometime when somebody is having pain, there are two kinds of responses that the near and dear ones can give. One is, oh my God, no, we are calling. And you'll see the panic on their faces. It's not helping. And there's other kind of response where one has done what one has to do. Probably one holds the hand and simply soothes. Just even a physician, when he comes and simply says, everything is fine, everything. Just when you give an injection, you ask the person to not to see, turn the mind away. You see, it makes a difference. Simply the simple act of observing it and turning the attention away. So anything that turns the attention away, whatever jhunjhuna helps, is good. It could be some nice soft music, something the person is simply naam jap. Somebody should do so that the consciousness turns away. So you'll see that slowly the degree of pain automatically is coming down, simply because now the psychological component has disengaged. To that, if one is evolving spiritually or evolved spiritually, then you can bring in the third component, which is very powerful and positive. And that is a complete faith and trust in the divine. It's something very interesting. The mother says, Shurbinda has also said this, and the mother says, for most of the people, the date and time of your departure is fixed. It's only for the rare exceptional who can delay it, or maybe willfully leave earlier is very difficult, but those who are evolved don't do that. But there are those who can depart at their own choice. But for invariably, and these are their words and this is what everybody has said, it's not something new. So if you are a spiritually developed person, you will know that, well, if I have to go, I'll go. So at least be in an atmosphere where you are comfortable and happy. But now with this idea of rushing to hospital where you get false hopes and ventilators and emergency, people don't realize it's actually counterintuitive. Let me put it like that. It's the norm because outside, see, hospitals have developed this kind of a hospital, allopathic medicine in the Western world, where you don't really believe in these things, you have only one life, so you somehow prolong it by any means. People don't realize it's developed in a certain context. For example, terminal illness. Now there also this light has come. There are people who, in Spain for example, those who are in a terminal illness state, they play music. They know that it soothes you. Music, by the way, has a healing capacity even in pain, because it sets the rhythms right. Pain is creating a disorder, a panic situation. Put some soothing music and see, it'll tend to set the rhythms right. And at the end, you surrender. So mother says, there is a prayer, March 17th, I think, 1913 or 1914, where she says the best is 17th March or 21st March, prayers and meditation. As he says that ultimately, the best supreme science, he says, is to surrender yourself to the divine. And let the divine do with you what he wills. Then she says, if you have to leave the body, it is the best condition to leave the body. And if you have to come back, it is the best condition, because now you have handed over the entire responsibility of your bodily life, your so-called illness. That's a different subject, whether illnesses are real or a kind of falsehood, but that's a different subject altogether. But nevertheless, if you learn to surrender with complete faith, that's how the spiritual person operates. So you see, now there are three components. One is physical. The person living in the physical consciousness responds the way bodily pain and... Now there also you have two types. One is more closer to the animal. They take it like that. Animals don't think. They don't cogitate about pain. They don't analyze the cause. And they recover very fast. So there are one kind of humanity which is very simple. And I've seen them, that how beautifully they come out or they face the situation. Then there is a layer of humanity which begins to think. Think means their physical mind is very active. So if you remove that psychological component, if nothing else, imagine something beautiful. Imagine a golden light or white light, as long as you don't start believing that, you know, this, that. Even a beautiful imagination, watching movies. There's a famous example of Norman Cousins, who wrote this book, Anatomy of an Illness. So he ran away from a hospital. He had rheumatoid arthritis, and that time it was believed that this could be contagious and you have to remain in lifelong hospice care. It's very difficult. So this man ran away without informing and shut himself in his own room, because otherwise police may catch, and started, he watched, television had come that time, just then. He watched a lot of humorous movies, and even you engage in creative activities. He completely recovered of all his rheumatic pains. He had written this famous book, Anatomy of an Illness. And there are many such instances. So remove the psychological component. And those who are psychologically developed understand it and do it. They take it in that spirit. You don't have to be spiritual to do it. It's common sense, logical, that your fear is not helping, it's harming the system. So by whatever means, at least quieten the mind. And then, if one is spiritually developed, call peace, stillness, practice inner detachment, have faith, complete, with complete trust, leave oneself in the surrender to the divine. Now when it is said have faith, so many people mean by that I have faith that mother will cure me of my illness. Now that's not really. So faith means Kalyan Shraddha. Whatever she will do will be good for us. If the body has to go, there it goes. If it has to come back, So either there will be disintegration of the body or there will be a reorganization of the body. Either which way, that's faith. Faith is not that somehow I'll be cured, then such people start getting very frustrated because they have invested their faith wrongly. There is some kind of faith, but it's more than faith, it is they are playing. It's like a mental trick that God will do whatever I believe in. He may do, he may not, because ultimately the divine will and whatever is determining our lifespan, that is going to take over at some point of time. So faith means by its nature, I surrender myself to the mother. What she does with me is now her problem. And if we do it sincerely, with complete faith, that what she will do will be the best, because that means we have a living faith. By living faith, it means that I trust that when I have said I have surrendered, she has taken responsibility, that I don't have to worry about it. If I am still worrying, that means my surrender is incomplete. I may use the word I have surrendered myself, but I may still worry. I have surrendered myself, why am I not improving? They don't go together. You can put a prayer, Mother, I would like to be fine. Especially if you really feel there is something which has been left incomplete. Not anything, I mean, not seeing your grandson marry. But let's say you feel that I should have read the books of Mother and Sri Aurobindo and I did not do that, and you want to get well or you want to serve the divine. And then you pray. Now that prayer is of a different quality. Then you just want to prolong your life and use a pretext. So this is the canvas on which one has to see. So here also we see, just like the human personality, all the three layers are operating. Horizontally, there is something which is troubling the outer consciousness, mainly the physical consciousness. There is a play of forces inside, which includes fear, hope, trust, all this is happening, all kinds of thoughts jostling inside. So if we can align the inner being correctly, then it will impact the outer. Imagine, for example, body in its wholeness. That itself helps. Because now the inner being is being helping the healing process. And then there is the secret soul and its wish. By wish I mean what it wants. If it wants to leave, nothing can be done and nothing should be done. Because then that's a different story. For whatever reason, it wants to go further. And there are several instances of this kind. In Mother and Sri Aurobindo's, so many anecdotes. Somebody wants to leave, one wants to leave. Then you cannot do anything. Similarly, we can look at it from a vertical axis. There is pain in the body. If the psychological component is developed in the right way, it can practice. Those with a developed mind can easily disengage, detach. Because their mind is independent. It's like people who are thinkers, genuine thinkers. They can be oblivious of their physical pain. They may be busy with thought or reading a wonderful book, and they may have a pain and they can learn to disengage. Because as the mind develops, it happens automatically. There are people like that. Plenty of examples of that kind. Even there are people who play music or listen, they are so involved in it that their pain is completely gone during that moment. And sometimes that is enough to get rid of the cause of the pain, because much of this may be simply a recurrence due to habit. People have migraines, much of it habit. But if you give an easy remedy, then none of this will apply. That's where I said that medicine has developed in a very counterintuitive or counter-evolutionary way. So it has provided you paracetamol, but robbed you of your natural ability to bear. So it's known that if you learn to bear and endure pain, actually your capacity increases manifold. That's how we were developing till we were invaded by all the pharmacies. So now the body's own pharmacy is shut. It doesn't, body has chemicals which can take care of the pain. But now it doesn't work because their shop has been shut. mind has invested faith in doctors and the medicines they provide. That's why sometimes I say humorously that people talk about God, but they believe in doctors and medicine. Go to a doctor, but understand that, you know, nobody can be better healer than the divine himself. And even with the doctor and medicine, it is the divine force which ultimately heals. But because we have faith in a doctor and the medicine, therefore it has to use that root. It need not use that root. Didn't people recover earlier before allopathy came into existence? It's a proof. They used to take homeopathy, they used to take Ayurveda, they used to take nothing. People recovered. That's how humanity has survived. Millenniums, trillenniums. There were no allopaths 1,000 years back, 500 years back, 200 years back. Humanity didn't survive, it survived. Because you allowed the body to bear a little bit and people had faith in whatever system was being practiced. Now all our faith is in allopathy. Allopathy practices, it has many remarkable, admirable things. But it also stuns you so that your natural capacity to bear, to endure is gone, which is not healthy. So there should be a balance. Use medicines which are necessary to cure, but also allow the body to develop its own resistance. But Sri Aurobindo says now it is very difficult to go to that because man has lost faith completely in natural healing. So it'll take time is to go past the mental curve and evolve into the spiritual man. Then once again you will enter into natural healing, but from a higher standpoint, because you know behind nature there is supernature. So you will tap into that source, you will offer to that, surrender with faith. So these are the options. Vertically, physical level, you endure, it will be wonderful. Thoughts will come, but what if something happens? I am having a knee pain. What if it's God knows what? Is this going to become much worse? Am I going to die? I have chest pain. Is it a severe heart attack or heart attack? I am having a pain in the abdomen. Is it cancer? And you see, the mind begins to play. Today's information overload. And then you do a Google search, it'll list out all the 10 dangerous things. So you have to learn to practice mind to remain quiet. And then to open to the divine force and surrender to the divine with complete faith. And if you can do this, all the three results are remarkable. Physical level, learn to bear and endure. At the level of the mind, psychological component, disengage from the mind, call peace, stillness, apply it. One can use imagination and literally that, you know, all over the body, that stillness and calm is entering. Sometimes talking too much about your pain or illness aggravates it. That's why never good to, you know, share only with the divine. Don't share with, or maybe with one odd person whom you can trust fully. Otherwise, people who keep saying, oh, I'm having this pain. So what is happening? It's amplifying it any amount. So mind has a role to play in all these illnesses and pain. We are talking about pain primarily. Doesn't matter. Fear will come. What if I have a heart attack? So there you have to bring in the third, the spiritual component. I'm not saying don't do what you have to do. If you have faith in allopathy, go to allopath and whatever, call the emergency, whatever one has to do. But do it in a state of inner calm. There is a time for you and that time cannot be delayed ordinarily. And if it can be delayed or altered, it is only the divine will and your psychic. They can do it. So go deep inside, try to come in contact with that luminous source. Open to the divine force with complete faith and surrender. This is the holistic way to approach pain. Jai Ma.